Hello, and welcome to show number 2517 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Our members really appreciate and understand the value of our free membership in reducing the cost in their daily lives as they pursue careers in music.
And in today's episode, you'll learn why you might want to become a member of this organization.
The Able Artist Foundation supports low-income disabled musicians around the world by providing discounted music software and hardware to its members. We'll talk with founder Stephen Letness about what motivated him to start the organization, their company partners, and about the special programs they offer for their members. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Stephen Letness.
Be not afraid. I think maybe the key to, you know, achieving success is, even if you're not sure, it is important to take a risk, to reach out to somebody you may not think you might not be able to get a hold of. Because in my experience, again, as somebody who had no experience starting Able Artists Foundation, let alone also co-founding two other organizations, came down to the capacity to take a risk and to reach out to somebody, because chances are you might actually be able to get a hold of them. And you may actually be able to make a difference. And I think we can be our own worst enemy in putting up barriers for ourselves. And the only reason why we're able to serve as many people as we have is because, just take a chance, especially with people with disabilities. I mean, we have stuff stacked against us, but we are thought leaders. We think outside the box. It is in our DNA to problem solve and to not get in our own way and take a risk. I mean, you may run into some barriers, sure, but then you find your way around, because that is what we do. That is what we do. We take risks, we find solutions, and we take a chance. And I think more people should do that. And I think there's a capacity for achievement if we just don't allow ourselves to become our own worst enemy and take a risk where we otherwise might not.
Great advice for anybody attempting anything new.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noah, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noah provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
And by
the Blind Institute of Technology, a global nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing accessibility and inclusion. BIT offers training programs and connects skilled professionals with disabilities to career opportunities. More information is at blindit.org.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Stephen.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. My name is Stephen Letness, and I am the founder and executive director of Able Artist Foundation. We are based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We serve hundreds of disabled musicians and composers from around the world with our programming.
Do you have a disability yourself?
I do. I am mostly blind. Throughout the years, I've been given many a diagnosis. No one can seem to agree on it. So they've told me I have retinitis pigmentosa. They've told me I have macular degeneration. And the latest diagnosis was a generic, well, Steve, you have retinopathy. So I think that's just a blanket term for my disability. I do have some usable vision. I was born legally blind. I've never been able to drive. I've never been able to see things at a distance. What usable vision I do have, I have to sit pretty close to, very close to a screen. in order to read it, but I've mostly depended upon Apple devices to read stuff to me to get through content.
And I suppose based on the mission of your organization that you are probably some sort of musician or have a strong interest in music?
Yeah, yeah. I grew up playing the piano, and I put out a couple piano albums throughout the years, three, in fact. And I think in 2012 that I decided I wanted to try my hand at writing music for film. And so I saved up some money, and I actually got a loan from a friend to afford the actual basic software that I needed to then learn software like Steinberg's Cubase is the music software I've used, and tons of sample libraries, and learning how to use them and create music from these sample libraries. And I began working on student films, short student films. And I've done, oh my gosh, so many of those. And then that led to being able to do some independent feature films. But my real direction took me into the documentary space, where I spent most of my time doing documentaries that are focused on social issues such as, you know, race discrimination. I worked with American Foundation for the Blind on their Possibilities documentary that came out last year. So I was doing that for about 12 years.
What fun. Did you have any formal education in music?
Only with piano, mostly during my formative years. But as far as the film composing went, no. I mean, my teacher was YouTube.
You learned as you went, kind of.
Yeah, I really did. I learned as I went. I watched and listened to a lot of podcasts, watched a lot of YouTube videos about the fundamentals of orchestrating and using software to create lifelike representations of the music for the films I scored.
Oh, how neat.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the Able Artist Foundation and the services they provide to low-income disabled musicians around the world.
Well, Stephen, today we wanted to talk mostly about your organization, Able Artist Foundation. And I was wondering if, before we get into the details, you can tell us what motivated you starting this organization.
It really came down to cost. You know, when I was starting in film music, I really had such little funds to afford this. And as I observed the prices of all of the software I would ultimately need to purchase in order to compete with people who had the resources to do film music, I mean, it was daunting. And so the concept of Able Artist Foundation was born out of the need to reduce the cost of music tools so that people with disabilities who are low income could get their time back. So the concept was, if I could negotiate relationships with the dozens, if not hundreds, of companies out there who create these tools for musicians, if I could get them to significantly reduce the cost of these tools, it would take less time for disabled musicians to save the money and be able to afford the professional tools needed, and thus giving their time back, so that, you know, as you know, people with disabilities, you know, sometimes things take us longer. And so the real concept of Able Artist Foundation was born out of wanting to give disabled musicians their time back. And the vehicle we did that was through reducing cost for them with our partners.
What kind of equipment are you talking about? Presumably as a piano player, you have a piano, but in order to produce the music that you submit, you need additional stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is primarily software. after, you know, talking with a lot of partners, it became clear that asking companies who make hardware, the reduction of costs, I mean, the margins for physical hardware isn't very much. And so I focused most of my time on speaking with companies who develop the software that we need. So these are the fundamental tools of what they call sample libraries, which, you know, there are hundreds of companies that create these sample libraries. And that's where most of the cost is born, is especially for entry level and intermediate level musicians and composers. It's the sample library software that really can be cost prohibitive. I will say this, of the 50 plus partners we have, we do have a great relationship with the company Focusrite. And I negotiated a deal with them to provide their interfaces, like the Scarlets and the Clarets, the interfaces to at least reduce the hardware cost by 30% for our members. So that was at least one major company we were able to negotiate a hardware deal with. But mostly our partners are with software developers.
So for musicians listening to this, they know what sample libraries are, but maybe not everybody does. Can you tell people what a sample library is?
Sample library is a piece of software that goes into an editor like Cubase or Pro Tools. It's also called like a virtual instrument. So there's usually a GUI, a graphic user interface that is on your screen that hopefully is accessible for users who are blind and visually impaired. It's sampling pieces of a real instrument like a violin and cutting it up into slices and then editing them together so that when you're using an interface like a keyboard, when you press a key, the sound of the violin will emanate from your user interface, from your speakers into your headphones. So it is sampling, literally sample libraries, it is sampling the sound of an instrument and turning that into data, which you can then, you know, play on a keyboard.
And this is what enables you to have the sound of a flute or a horn or a piano or a bagpipe coming out of your computer and arrange full orchestral pieces or any kind of band combo.
That's correct.
So you talked about the discounts that you've negotiated with a bunch of partners and also that people had to be low income. What are the requirements to be a part of this process?
Yeah, you know, I when I first had this idea almost a decade ago, and we started in 2017, there was a bit of a ramp up. And I had to figure out, well, how do you verify that someone not only has a disability, but is also low income? And so I talked to, I think it was 8 different law offices about what is permissible to require from somebody who's coming to the Able Artist website to register as a member. And they all said that because it is not a governmental necessity, you know, you're a nonprofit, you know, this isn't a necessity, it is legally permissible to request identifiable information such as an ID and, in most cases, a Social Security award letter. That goes through our highly secure website. You go to ableartist.org and you click on register. And you submit, at first it's an email verification, and then in the second step you submit your ID and your award letter. We review it, and once it's been reviewed, we either approve or deny your registration, and then we delete it. We don't want that information on our servers. We don't have any of that information on our servers. That is not something that we want. So it's just to get through the initial process of membership. But once you're in, you have access to 50 plus partners and request as many discounts as you want, which is 50%. We've been able to reduce the cost of nearly every piece of software that our partners sell for 50% off the MSRP price. So it's really a steep savings. And in the number of years we've been doing this, we've been able to save our members hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's terrific. So in order to qualify as a member of Able Artists Foundation, you just need to demonstrate that you qualify for some sort of government assistance, whatever that's called in your country, due to your disability.
You got it. Yep. We have members in over 30, I think it's 33 countries now. The plurality of our membership is in the United States. And I would again say a plurality of our members are blind and visually impaired users.
It must be interesting that you have members from all over the world in many countries, and they must have different ways of proving that they're on some sort of government assistance program or low-income people. How does that work?
Well, I use Google Translate quite a bit. You know, when we have members from Israel or members from some African countries or Eastern European countries, a lot of those documents are in their native language. And rather than requiring them to get those documents converted into English, I put that on myself. And so all they have to do is submit the document in their native language, and I use Google Translate to read through the material. And so Google Translate has really been a big help.
Hooray for the internet.
Yeah.
So give us an idea of some of the partners that you have connected with that people can use to get some discounts.
A lot of them are US and UK based. I'd say our largest and I'd say most popular partner is a company in the United Kingdom called Spitfire Audio. Their libraries are top notch. They are creme de la creme.
So what else?
CineSamples, Orchestral Tools, SoundIron, Impact Soundworks. Again, we have over 50, but most of them, if not all of them, really are software-based companies.
But as you mentioned, Focusrite sells hardware, and that could be quite a savings for people too.
Yeah, that can. I've really been thankful when that came out. And I got to say, our membership can be pretty active, and some of them have gone out on our behalf and reached out to some of these companies to say, hey, would you be interested in partnering with Able Artists Foundation? And so our members really appreciate and understand the value of our free membership in reducing the cost in their daily lives as they pursue careers in music. So I really have to give thanks to a lot of our members for broaching the subject with partners we may not have thought of, and that they make an email introduction, and then I take it from there and explain what it means to be a partner of Able Artists Foundation and who they'd be serving. And more often than not, we get partners to sign on with us. It's very rare that we have a partner who would not be able to partner with us.
Well, you've been doing this for some time now, and obviously you have a lot of commercial partners signed up with your organization. But I'm kind of curious how the conversation went when you first started and no one knew about you, and you connected with some company and said, hey, I'd like to offer discounts to disabled people around the world.
You go to a website, you find a contact us, you know, email or phone number. Phone is always better because it's harder for them to say no. And I learned by practice. So it really came down to there's no procedure. It simply was going to a website, identifying some type of contact email and pleading my case. And the funny part was more often than not, I'd get right to the CEO. It's about how confident are you in expressing yourself and your mission and the purpose of what you're doing, but doing it efficiently. The biggest lesson I learned in doing this was, well, first of all, I became unafraid to speak to anybody. But I also learned that the great skill of less is more, and how concise can you be with your emails or with your conversations and getting your point across, because these people are busy. So the economy of words became very important and a skill I learned to cultivate.
Well, I'm impressed that it's not easy to break through the barriers that some people or some companies put up. But it sounds like once you gained some experience at how to do this, and once you had some partners signed on, it must have become a lot easier to sign on additional partners.
It certainly did. It certainly did. The first few years, it really did take some convincing. But I think our partners really understood what we were going for. At the end of the day, the people who were serving would not probably otherwise have had the funds in the first place to purchase these tools. And so what I learned to, and part of my, you know, argument towards these partners was, well, you may not be receiving any money at all from an underserved group. So by partnering with us, at the end of the day, it enhances your bottom line because you would otherwise not be getting the sales, which you now are.
And I guess it's great PR for them also. Works for everybody.
Yeah, it does. It works for everybody. And it's great PR because one of the things that I did, because we have a couple different programs, but like our primary program is this discount program. But during the pandemic, I remember I was walking outside and I thought, well, how can I better serve our members? And I thought of a contest. So what I did, I said, and this is still unique, I have not yet heard of another contest like this, is our members submit their music. And not only do they get a chance to win not one sample library, but sometimes dozens of sample libraries. And I think one of our last grand prizes was the sample library package came out to be over $10,000 worth of software. But not only do they win all of that with the partners who want to participate, but we also partner with a company here in Minnesota called Hit List Music, which is an advertising agency which goes out and works with companies and syncs, S-Y-N-C, and syncs the music in their library with a commercial. So our contest winners get their music reviewed by Hit List Music for possible onboarding into their catalog to then hopefully have their music used in advertising. And what's really great is we had a contest winner a couple of years ago named Kim Algore, who actually became my composing assistant for a few years. He got his music into Hit List Music, and he actually was able to get his music synced with Barbie and Mattel.
Wow.
So it really became a job creator and getting more funds to him. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of our programs are meant to get people the tools so they have the time to pursue careers in music.
That's pretty cool. Have any of your members been able to make any other interesting projects?
We did a couple albums with a music licensing company out in Los Angeles called Empath Tracks. And a number of our AAF members, we pulled them together and partnered with Empath Tracks to create. And now it's on APM Music, which is the largest music site out there for people to grab the music for commercials, film, and television. But we were able to produce two all disabled musician song albums that are now out there to potentially be synced for music licensing. So I'm really proud of that program too.
Well, this sounds like a great resource that you've come up with and a very creative idea and very useful for people around the world. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going on year 8 now.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Able Artist Foundation and how to contact Stephen Letness or to hear some of his compositions.
Well, Stephen, if people want to become a member of the Able Artist Foundation, take advantage of some of the discounts, maybe you can tell them how they can do that and what the requirements are.
Yeah, please go to ableartist.org. That's singular, ableartist.org. Or you can go to ableartist.org/register, which would be the direct link. And it's a drop-down menu where you choose member or partner. You submit your email. And so the first step is simply an email verification. And then once you verify your email, the next step would then for you to upload a picture of your ID and your award letter from Social Security or from your particular, whatever your particular country's version of that is. And then it's a quick review process, maybe only take a day or two. And then you are in the system and you can then begin requesting discounts as you like.
If somebody had a question or a comment, how would they reach you?
Yes, our email is info@ableartist.org.
And do you have a social media presence?
To be honest, not really. I mean, we do have an Instagram as Able Artist. We do also have an X account under Able Artist FDN. And we do have a Facebook page, but it's honestly very little in use. We're still a very small organization. And so most of what we do is running the programs, checking the emails, talking with partners, connecting with members, troubleshooting accounts. My main focus is on our members and serving them and supporting them however we can at Able Artists Foundation.
And I understand that you have written a lot of music. If somebody wanted to hear some of your personal compositions and work, where would they find that?
One place you could go is stephenletness.com, stephenletness.com. That's my primary website. I do have a bunch of stuff on Spotify as well. I do have a SoundCloud account, but some of my stuff's on Spotify. But to be honest, most of it is just in the films that I compose, and I haven't really created full albums of the scores to become albums in and of themselves to be sold. It's really been for the client, for the project, and then I move on to the next project.
If you missed any of that information, you'll find it in the show notes associated with this episode, which is number 2517. And we were speaking of discounts in this episode. If you're interested in trying out a new accessible AI-driven shopping service, try the promotional link on our website to innosearch.ai, and you'll get a discount on your first order and also support the show.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the See Me cane. Navigating at night can be risky for blind pedestrians. We'll talk with Kelvin Crosby about the See Me cane, which increases visibility with built-in LED lighting. Kelvin will also share his path from vision loss to advocacy, vocational training, and launching an assistive tech program that hires blind professionals, including some people he hires to fabricate the See Me cane.
So if you're interested in traveling a little bit safer at night, join us for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.